We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're reacting to week 7 of NFL action on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up?
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We're two of the owners here at RotoViz, ready to break down some Week 7 action. As always, some surprises, some interesting games. Maybe a fun one here on Monday night. I need some points from my boy Alvin Kamara. How are you doing, Curtis?
Doing great, man. Most of my matchups were resolved heading into the night, except for a couple leagues where I've got Alvin Kamara. All of the Tyler Lockett teams those matchups seem to have already been resolved. And the big thing I'm looking forward to tonight is do we get any Penny? Do we get any Rashad Penny?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully we'll have something exciting to talk about later in the week as a result of that. But without further ado, let's hear about Week 7's Player of the Week.
Oh, man. It's the new Dynasty wide receiver one, Dave. It's got to be. Ja'Marr Chase. He just keeps setting the world on fire week after week after week. Huge, huge game and a must. I mean, really a must see TV event with the Bengals and the Ravens for AFC North supremacy. The Bengals sit atop the AFC. I mean, what is happening right now? But it's all because of the Burrow and Chase connection. Ja'Marr Chase posts an insane line of 8 receptions for 201 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown. The Ravens have been very susceptible through the air this year. I mean, even dating back to the first few weeks of the season, we saw Las Vegas light them up. This is not the Ravens defense of old, but the fact that Chase and Burrow are doing this so early into Chase's Bengals tenure is just so impressive. On pace for one of the most impressive rookie seasons of all time, if not the most impressive rookie season of all time. I think we're going to have to buckle up for this Bengals offense the next couple of seasons, Dave. So Ja'Marr Chase, congratulations on your first Fantasy Player of the Week award on the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I highly doubt this will be your last.
Yeah, absolutely no way it will be his last. I thought it was possible you might pivot and go with a Browns player in D'Ernest Johnson, who came in relief for some teams and put up a nice game on Thursday night. But hard to deny Chase, and it's good that we already got to talk about him after that 200-yard performance. Snoozer of the week. Oh, boy. Sam Darnold had come out of the gates firing, Curtis. If people remember, in the first couple games of the year, had 5 rushing touchdowns, which elevated his fantasy production. He has come crashing down over the weekend. Just 16 of 24 for 64 yards against the New York Giants. In his last 3 weeks, has gone 54 of 103 for just 495 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. And in that stretch, just 23.6 fantasy points. Sam Darnold getting real ugly and is the snoozer of the week.
Yeah, I'm not going to even add anything.
Okay, that actually was not the sound effect I was looking for. We're going to leave that in. There we go. Game notes. All right, let's start over in the NFC. I want to talk here about the Atlanta Falcons, mainly because we now have Kyle Pitts with another solid game, turning into the player we hoped he would be. He's now third in air yards among, in the game over the weekend, was third in air yards among all players, had 163 receiving yards on 7 receptions with 8 targets. At this point in the year, he has the highest air yard share of any tight end at 28.2% of Atlanta's air yards. Cordarrelle Patterson has a target share of 14.9%. Other than Ridley and Pitts, he's the only player on the team with more than 10% of the team's passing share. Atlanta does rank third in pass attempts per game, which I guess helps out those guys that aren't Ridley or Pitts. But really, we are seeing no wide receivers or tight ends in Atlanta that could draw flex consideration other than Ridley and Pitts, and of course Patterson at the running back position. But it's interesting how this is playing out. Just more reasons to be excited about Pitts, and just a really impressive start to his NFL career.
Yeah, man. Back-to-back weeks with over 23 PPR and an tight end premium. He's already proving to be a cheat code. So that bye week in between kind of throws you off of the momentum that Pitts has stacked up here. But in the last two games against the New York Jets and Miami Dolphins, greater than 7 or more receptions in each game, over 115 receiving yards in each game, had the touchdown versus the Jets. Jamar Chase wins the week in terms of overall impressiveness from the rookie, but Kyle Pitts doing it at that, start one position for fantasy purposes makes him even more of a cheat code, which is what everyone had in mind when they selected him so high in the rookie drafts last spring. So yeah, love the highlight there on the Falcons offense as well. There's so few pieces that I think this is sustainable.
Yeah, I really do too, which is one of the reasons to focus on this team. So I'm excited about Atlanta. Well, in particular, I'm excited about Pitts, I guess I would say, in Atlanta moving forward. What do you have for me over in the AFC?
Yeah, I want to stay with the Bengals. We've already hit on Chase in his impressive game. What's really interesting is I think T. Higgins probably has a really big week coming soon. Despite Chase's insane performance, so much of it came on, that yak on the 80 plus yard, reception that he took to the house, broke a couple tackles, on just a little bit of a skinny post or a short slant, whatever you want to call it. And then, evaded the tacklers, but that really was almost half of his yards. T. Higgins actually had 179 air yards in the game and a 45.4% air yard share. In the game, him and Burrow just aren't connecting. This goes back to kind of what we were talking about with Stephon Diggs about a month ago, Dave, and it was just 2 short weeks later that he ended up having his best game of the season. So T. Higgins, managers aren't getting what they want out of Higgins after selecting him, in the fourth round, fifth round in best ball drafts this draft season. But I think he will eventually get there. Teams will start to scheme more heavily for Chase. That's going to open things up for Higgins. And the Bengals have proven they're going to continue to score points. And where Higgins had so much of his success last season was actually, scoring touchdowns. So he's going to get his opportunities. I look for Higgins to have a strong second half. If you want to read a little bit more thoughts on Higgins, Sean Siegel's article, his Monday drop came out. He focuses on the Bengals offense and shares some of his thoughts around Higgins and his disappointment. The other thing that's interesting is Tyler Boyd essentially has been just relegated to he's C-minus Cole Beasley now in this offense because he's been usurped by CJ Uzoma. Yes. So speaking of breakout tight ends, man, this is like his third boom game of the season. And, this summer, Dave, we talked about Dawson Knox. You brought him up and I was able to co-sign it, thankfully. you know, targeting the tight ends in, you know, the elite offenses, because even if they're not the number one or number two option, or even the number three option, when teams score, the tight ends are, you know, they're just as likely to benefit as anyone else. And Uzoma's putting up a Robert Tonyan-esque year, three receptions, 91 yards, two touchdowns against the Ravens. The Bengals just excite at nearly every position. And yeah, man, who day.
Yeah, so key point there, right? Uzoma and the success that he's had as of late. We haven't really seen some of that translate into Higgins, but this was something that, as you pointed out, when we talked about Buffalo and some of the troubles for Diggs, we said, well, some of the touchdowns that Dawson Knox is scoring should eventually go over to Diggs. I think we're going to see the same thing with Higgins, and certainly a team that looks like it's going to be generating a ton of fantasy excitement for the foreseeable future. Let's head back over to the NFC. We've talked a lot on the show about Daryl Henderson, about Cooper Kupp. We haven't really talked that much, though, about Matthew Stafford. At this point, he's thrown 19 touchdown passes. Only Tom Brady has thrown more. He's tied with Kyler Murray at 9.0 yards per attempt for the most from quarterbacks that have played a full complement of games at this point. And that's helped the team to place third in first downs, keeping the chains moving, keeping players in his offense relevant. It is interesting, though, and we talked about this early on in the year, and I said this looked like a trend to me that couldn't hold, but it might. So through seven games, Cooper Kupp now has a target share of 33.8%. Robert Woods is at 20.8%, Van Jefferson at 13.8%, Tyler Higbee at 13.8%. Daryl Henderson, you might be interested to know, is at 9.2. And then in the last three games, Curtis, Cooper Kupp, 33% target share. Robert Woods, 23.6. Tyler Higbee, 14.2. Van Jefferson, 14.2. So Stafford in recent games has actually concentrated that target share more so into his top four most targeted players, but Kupp has held at a 33% target share. Woods moved up to 23.6. I think it's possible that we do see a finish now where Kupp is at 32, maybe, or even higher, and Woods sits in at 24, 25%, which would keep Cooper Kupp as a top three wide receiver, one would have to imagine, at season's end. So this is really interesting. Not great for teams that have Robert Woods, I don't think. Great for teams that have Matthew Stafford. And for some of the teams that you and I have that have Cooper Kupp, this is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, man. 40+% exposure on underdog. And Cooper Kupp, every year, just, or every week, just keep on mentioning his name, because few things have made me happier this season than getting Cooper Kupp right and Matthew Stafford right, that this offense would find some of the magic back from the early McVay years in Los Angeles. So from a dynasty application there too, you know, I do think it's worth noting Van Jefferson in year two. You know, he was an older prospect and didn't really get much traction as a rookie in 2020. But, you know, when we look forward to 2022, if Kupp's target share were to start to diminish as he ages, or, you know, were the team to just kind of rebalance and go to, kind of go back to more so of the 11 personnel and three wide and spreading things more evenly, you know, Jefferson could creep up into that 18 to 20% target share range, which would make him fantasy viable as a flex. So from a dynasty perspective, I don't think he has much value yet to your league mates, but this is an offense that I think will be strong for several years with Stafford now. So keep an eye on Jefferson, and then you know, also love the Henderson mentions, man. I mean, he definitely is looking like he should be able to maintain that, you know, kind of mid to low end RB1 status for fantasy purposes this season.
For sure. So let's pop back over to the AFC. What else you have?
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, a very frustrating and talked about offense. I mean, it's just been a yo-yo as the Miami Dolphins, Dave. You know, now they're back into the spotlight on a will they, won't they trade for Deshaun Watson situation. Tua Tagovailoa is like producing for fantasy purposes, but just not looking very impressive in real football terms. But he is propping up some pretty impressive fantasy performances from some of the young players. You know, Jalen Waddle continues to be fantasy viable each week. Mike Gesicki looks like a legitimate top half tight end one in PPR and you know, and tight end premium. You know, he's like a top 30 overall receiver when you mix him in with the wideouts. But the player that I think has a chance to really stack things up moving forward due to an injury, Dave, is Myles Gaskin. And it's been very difficult to figure this guy out, but he was the third highest scoring running back in the AFC this week with 17.7 PPR, and Malcolm Brown heads to IR. So, you know, now it's just Gaskin and Salvon Ahmed, and the team does not look as intent on keeping him involved as they did with Malcolm Brown. I think Gaskin has a chance to have a clearer runway as a very dependable RB2 for fantasy purposes the rest of the season. So, you know, I think 2 weeks ago we had said, hey, might make sense to pick up Gaskin, either, you know, by spending all of your fab after he had been kicked to the curb, or maybe as a sneaky trade target. I'm not going to claim to have been able to, you know, predict an injury. But the he's shown he can produce when he gets the volume. He's at least a representative level, NFL running back. And now without a real challenger, you know, he should be looking at a 60 to 70% touch share in Miami for the weeks to come. So big fan of Gaskin here in the middle part of the season.
Yeah, it would be exciting to be able to see him have a bit of a resurgence to close out the year, start to approximate more of what we saw last year and thought that it could carry forward. A couple of quick notes here on Tua. He's towards the bottom of the board of passers with over 50 attempts in terms of completion percentage, or excuse me, of catchable pass percentage. Yeah. If you are looking at on target percentage, he's very much towards the bottom too, down there with guys like Zach Wilson and Justin Fields. Yards per attempt, which normally can bring down some of your scores if you are looking further downfield, are pretty low as well. So like you said, he's been able to keep players somewhat fantasy relevant. He himself has been able to be fantasy relevant. But when you start digging in, there's not a lot that you can point to about him being, you know, a player that could be a difference maker, I think, in either a real life or fantasy perspective moving forward. There's probably going to be rumors about Deshaun Watson and Miami until the end of the season, assuming something doesn't happen. But we will have to pay attention to that. The final team I wanted to talk about over in the NFC are the Detroit Lions. In specific, DeAndre Swift. He has the highest target share at this point, Curtis, of all running backs, with more than 20% of Detroit Lions targets going his way, which is good because it's offsetting his somewhat inefficient play as a rusher. He's averaging just 3.4 yards per carry, which normally I wouldn't care that much about, but that's actually a full yard less than Jamal Williams. But that might not matter. As a result of the workload he is receiving as a receiver, he is second in total points right now among running backs, which, I mean, that's huge. We're going to have to talk at some point about what you do with a player like DeAndre Swift from a dynasty perspective. He has outplayed what I expected he'd be able to do this year, overcoming any issues that there might be in Detroit. So super impressed with him. I had talked a couple of weeks ago about Amon-Ra St. Brown as a player to pay some attention to, saw his target share starting to rise. In that time, though, Khalif Raymond has really stepped up. His last three games, 17 targets, 152 yards, had a touchdown, has an air yard share of 27.6, and in the past three games, that equates to 176 air yards. So this is a team that is not performing very well in a real life context, but has been able to keep DeAndre Swift doing well. TJ Hawkinson, not as great as it looked like he could be at the start of the season, still producing around 12.5 fantasy points per game. And now Raymond looks like a guy that we could use to kind of navigate the bye week stretch as we continue to have to deal with injuries and bye weeks.
Hey, you know, I think the Lions are set up to give us that garbage time appeal. It's not going to be widespread, but we there's a team or two like this every single season. And there's one in the AFC that, you know, kind of reminding me of this. They're just providing the fantasy utility to different positions. But, you know, the Houston Texans are another case study on that. You know, Brandon Cooks, is, and that's not my team here, so I'm just getting an extra team drop in here. Just because, you know, your real life bad doesn't mean, you know, you can't continue to produce. So, Swift, total league winner, Hawkinson, you know, very impressive. And I do think it makes sense to continue to try to speculate. I mean, because at some point the Lions are going to direct, that wide receiver target share. Somebody is going to emerge, you know, it's week seven and nobody really, really has. But somebody's going to, you know, by the end of the season, be at least streamable in your flex. So, continuing to highlight the Lions makes a lot of sense. I want to go to a team that's also in turmoil, out in Las Vegas. You know, Jonny Gruden is out. The team's played two games in the post Gruden era, and you know the offense is functioning a little bit differently. They're more running back heavy. Part of that has to do with Darren Waller being a little bit ouchy. But would it surprise you to learn, Dave, that over the last 2 weeks in those two games, Kenyon Drake is RB6 in fantasy?
What?
Yes. Kenyon Drake is RB6 over the last 2 weeks with 38.2 PPR. That ties in with Joe Mixon. You know, the only backs in front of him are Damian Harris off of his huge week seven, obviously, DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor, Lenny Fournette, and Derrick Henry. Only backs in front of Kenyon Drake over the last 2 weeks. Now that's aided a little bit by Jacobs exiting early in week seven with the chest contusion. You know, thankfully it looks like he's going to be okay, but both of these guys actually are our fantasy RB1s over the last 2 weeks. Josh Jacobs also has 31 points. So we went from both of these guys being kind of fantasy afterthoughts the first month and a half of the season to now both of them looking like viable RB2s. You know, it's something to watch. It's definitely something to watch. We're going to have to be careful with Darren Waller coming back. You know, they might have to take turns. But I thought that it was really notable. You know, I think our Monday review tool for those of you who, haven't acquainted yourself with that on the site yet, really helps me highlight these little mini trends like this and, you know, pick potential, you know, players to target or give more starter consideration to in my lineups. Because, you know, a guy like Drake, a guy like Jacobs, these are players that it will take the projection machines on the various fantasy apps or sites that you play on weeks to catch up to these trends. So whether you're playing on Yahoo or ESPN or Sleeper or whatever site that you're playing, you know, games on, FFPC, the projections are going to lag because of what happened early in the season. So, you know, you want to see what's actually happened and note those team trends. So Drake has made the most of his opportunity. And oddly enough, they're almost leaning more on him as the runner. And then Jacobs has been more involved as a receiver, which is like opposite of what Gruden had told us the team was going to do with these guys all along. So, yeah. Any comments on the Raiders backfield there, Dave?
Well, that is absolutely wild. So Drake went off in week six, had, I want to say it was like 39 fantasy points. Might've been a little bit less, but so I knew he had crushed it that week, but to actually hear you say how high he was up in totals is absolutely nuts, where he ranks among running backs between week six and seven. That's a really interesting trend. Go ahead.
He had 16.9 again this week. So not to be buried, with the big week six, he, pending Monday Night Football results, he's going to be an RB1 again this week.
Yeah, so that is absolutely wild. And that's a pretty radical shift. And I'm kind of inclined to say, yeah, it's only been two games, but this seems like something with the team kind of changing its identity that could continue to carry forward. Then on top of the things that you said, and we'll have to actually tomorrow when we have all of the data, we can run the calculation for players' expected points. But in terms of NFL expected points added, you actually have Kenyon Drake in week six and seven ranking fifth among all running backs. And then Josh Jacobs comes in around 13 or 14. So that doesn't always guarantee that those things are going to line up with the different ways that things are calculated. But that is a pretty clear indicator that these guys are seeing valuable opportunities. And then on top of that, they're making the most of those opportunities that they're getting. So that's a fantastic pull there, Curtis. This is going to be really interesting to see move along. Let me ask you this question, though. Do you think that somebody out there in a redraft league that has Kenyon Drake is going to be willing to part with him after what they got the last 2 weeks?
You know, I don't know. You would have to find the right name. You'd have to find the right name value in a redraft league. You know, bye weeks make people do funny things though too. I would have to pull up the Raiders bye week. I don't have it handy. I think it's coming up soon.
It's week eight.
Yes. And so this is actually a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to pull him. If the team, especially, I think middling teams, middling managers, 3-4, 4-3, even a 2-5 team out of desperation, trying to stay relevant, they've got to fill those starting lineup spots, with players who project to at least keep them in the mix this week. Most managers probably missed Drake's huge week six, I think, because of the way he had been trending. But many more may have started him this week, as a result of the previous week's production. So a good opportunity to pull him. I think maybe a player like Melvin Gordon, that has a little bit of name value. I'm just trying to think of guys who have some brand name recognition and will be in the lineup and have, maybe paced with Drake before the big breakout week. So that's the type of player I would be trying to move for Kenyon Drake this week.
Yeah. So definitely something to consider. See what you can put together. Looks like a week that might be conducive to at least making an offer to see if you can get Drake. So we will be back tomorrow, Curtis. Hopefully we have some interesting results from Monday night that we can discuss. I've seen a little bit of the game, had some excitement between DK Metcalf and Marshawn Lattimore. So we'll have to see how that continues to go. But we will be back tomorrow, and we appreciate everyone stopping by.
Thank you for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Send us questions at rvffshow@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Leave us a voicemail at 978-615-9214. And make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.